Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Before I begin today's podcast, it's time for our annual subscription drive. As most of you know, the cost of printing a magazine like Lenswork is tied directly to the size of the press run. Our printer has let us know that we're getting so close to the next pricing tier that if we can just add 200 more subscribers, that's it, 200 more, they can guarantee their current price through the end of the year. So if you're not currently a subscriber to Lenswork and you're missing so many great images and projects, now would be a great time for you to join with your own subscription. For those of you who are current subscribers to Lenswork, if you're part of a photo group or a club or maybe an online forum, please share your enthusiasm for Lenswork and suggest that they subscribe. Or better yet, if you can swing it, consider buying a gift subscription for a friend or two you know. They'll appreciate it, I'll really appreciate it, and you can help us keep our current subscription rates without an increase for the rest of the year. You can subscribe, of course, at our website, which is www.lenswork.com. Thanks so much. Now on to today's topic. I'm titling this podcast, Yup, Photography is a Great Medium for Art. And I know this has been a question that has haunted photography since its inception, and probably will forever, but here's my take on it. And I think it's particularly important to think about this in this age in which we have literally trillions of images being put up on the internet and being photographed on people's iPhones and Android phones every day. Trillions of images. But those trillions of images are not really art. They're photography, and sometimes they can rise to the level of art, but art photography is something else. And that's what you and I are particularly involved in. I won't be so silly as to try to come up with a definition of fine art photography in this podcast, because I'm not sure that's possible. But I do have some observations about photography as you and I practice it here in these early days of the new millennium. The first thing that occurs to me is that there are so many media of presentation. What do you want to do? You want to do gelatin silver? You can. Platinum palladium? Yep. Gum bichromate? Tintypes? Wet collodion? Or maybe you want to do digital work? Inkjet prints? Chapbooks? Folios? In what kind of device? Tablets? Computers? YouTube videos? There just is no question in my mind whatsoever that this is the best time ever to be a photographer because we have so many choices. Think back, if you will, just 100 years or so ago, before the advent of the 35mm camera, right about the time that Kodak was promoting the box camera, the Brownie. Up until that point, all photography, all serious photography at least, was done with essentially a view camera of one kind or another, and all that's entailed in that. And now we have all these choices, all these wonderful cameras, all these amazing technologies to choose from. Best time ever to be a photographer. But I want to press that even further. I'm proposing this is the best time ever to be an artist with a camera. And that's how I tend to think of myself, more than a photographer. A photographer can be someone who's very skilled at doing commercial work or wedding photography or studio portraits. But I suspect most readers of Lenswork are interested in the kind of thing that I am, which is personally expressive photography. So if we can keep a straight face while we call ourselves artist with a camera, think of all that entails in today's world. First and foremost is the format choices we have. You want to shoot 20 by 24 Polaroids? You can. You want to shoot 8x10 view camera work and make contact prints like Ansel Adams and Edward Weston did? You can. You want to do recombinant images like Jerry Ulsman did? You can. Large format, small format, micro formats. There's no end to it. We have format choices that our forefathers in photography could not have dreamed of. And one of the implications of that is flexibility of scale. Again, just think back 100 years ago, before the world of enlargers. And isn't that a weird thought? But the size of your print was determined by the size of your negative because contact prints are what pretty much everybody did. Now, you can grab your camera and take a picture and make almost any size you want. You want to make a 2-inch by 3-inch print? You can. You want to make a 2-foot by 3-foot print? You can. You want to make one that covers the entire wall? You can. We have flexibility of scale that has never existed before in the history of photography until the most recent 100 years or so of photography. And to us, we take that for granted. We don't even think about that now, about how marvelous and fantastic that was compared to what our forefathers in photography 100 years ago and the limitations they had when it came to making prints of different size. Another aspect of being an artist with a camera today is that we can make absolutely stunning, beautiful, lovely photographs without having to immerse ourselves in smelly and dangerous chemicals. This is a true story. I once had a chemical that I used for doing green toning following a formula I found in the PhotoLab Index that called for a product called potassium permanganate. I went to the local science store. I said, I'd like to buy a bottle of potassium permanganate. They said, no problem. They sold it to me. On the label, on the side of the bottle, was the text, do not let this chemical come in contact with other substances. And I thought, what, like the bottle it came in or the lid that was screwed on so tightly? Dangerous chemicals. We don't even think about that anymore. But those of us who are doing digital photography have some inks to deal with, but that's about it. And none of them are going to kill us or cause us to go mad like the daguerreotypists did by breathing in all those lead fumes. Yet we can make, like I say, absolutely gorgeous images, better than anything that's been produced in the history of photography. Beautiful prints from the safety and comfort of our home. Another reason why this is the best time ever to be an artist with a camera, think of volumetric production, if that's important to you. If you need to make 100 identical copies of a print, you can. You just have to have enough ink and paper. But try making 100 identical copies of a tintype or a gel and silver print. That's a much taller order. I always get a kick out of photographers who are doing gel and silver work and they limit their prints. And so what I see is 2/250. Well, I know damn well hardly anybody's ever going to print 250 copies of a gel and silver print. Number one, there's probably not the demand for it. Number two, unbelievable number of hours in the darkroom. But if you wanted to make 250 inkjet prints, you could do that. And it wouldn't be that difficult to do. Volumetric production is something that's available to us that wasn't available to our photographic forefathers. And speaking of our photographic forefathers, think of the history of photography and the history of photographic ancestors we have to learn from. All the mistakes, all the pioneering things that they did, all the aesthetic avenues they explored that can either liberate us from doing so or inspire us to do it again. We have the history of photography behind us where 100 years or so ago they didn't. Starting with what? Maybe P.H. Emerson, Alfred Stieglitz, Edward Weston. These photographers pioneered the development of a photographic aesthetic that we just take for granted because we don't have to pioneer that because they already did it for us. True, we see a lot of their work in books rather than in their original prints. But then look at what's happened in the quality of book publishing just in the last 50 years. We don't even have to go back 100. I've used this example before, but it's such a powerful thought I can't avoid using it again, and that's this. When Edward Weston did his great work, My Camera on Point Lobos, the quality of reproduction in his book was relatively low. The quality of image in his original gel and silver print was very, very high. So there was a huge gap between what he produced as original Jell and Silver photographs and the relatively poor reproductions in the book. Well, fast forward to today. What's happened to those two technologies in the last 100 years? The quality of original Jell and Silver prints has not improved hardly at all. But the quality of commercial offset printing has improved by leaps and bounds, to the point where there's essentially no difference in quality between seeing the image reproduced in a nice museum-quality book and seeing the original Jell and Silver print. In fact, depending on the skill of the Jell and Silver printer, it's very possible that the book reproduction might even be better. We have that advantage that teaches us more about being an artist with a camera in our generation than they could have possibly imagined 100 years ago. And then let's consider the ease of travel to exotic locations. You want to go to Iceland and photograph? You can. It's a little expensive, but you can do it. There's accommodations. There's relative ease of travel. Jets will take you anywhere on the planet. And if you want to photograph somewhere, you can probably do it. As compared to Edward Weston, who had to have a Guggenheim grant to drive across the Sierras from his home in Carmel over to the Owens Valley. He had to have a Guggenheim grant. Think how easy it is for us to go to places to make wonderful photographs with ease. But all of that is sort of background. The most important reason of all is the artistic capabilities that we have at our disposal for making personally expressive photographs. Whatever you want to say and however you want to say it, you can. Do you want to make documentary photographs? You can. And there's equipment and techniques and places you can get that work seen. Do you want to make straight artistic photography, a la the F64 group? You can. Recombinant images from your imagination like Jerry Ulsman? You can. Does your aesthetic impulse motivate you to make true color, false color, mixed color, exaggerated color, anything you want? You can. So the path of being a creative photographer slash artist, if I can use that term, becomes what do you want to say and why do you want to say it? Not how you're going to say it, filled with a whole bunch of equipment and technique limitations. Photography is now entirely about what and why. And yes, we still have to answer the question how, but that's relatively easily done because the information is out there. Even if you want to do something obscure like wet collodion plates, the information how to do it is out there, relatively easy to get your hands on and relatively easy to do compared to 100 years ago. Well, with all of that as preliminary, I wouldn't be surprised to see that your natural question is, okay, fine, where do we begin? And I'm going to propose that that's the wrong question. It's the wrong focus of your attention. Because if you're looking for the right place to start, no matter how you pick it, it may not actually be the right place, and you may waste a lot of time going down the wrong path, producing work that maybe doesn't lead anywhere. Because where you begin is not the issue. I would propose that all of your attention, at least at first, should be on building a momentum and an inertia. Start anywhere. It doesn't make any difference where you start. It's just that you start that counts. Start producing something. Start with a small project. Start with a finish. Start with a 6-image exhibition on your living room wall or a 40-image exhibition in a public space if you can make those arrangements. Start somewhere and then keep the momentum going. Develop a strategy that keeps you at it because with momentum, you will naturally find your voice and your creative mission, but only if you have momentum to begin with. When I think of this, I often think of trying to push a car. It's really, really hard to get a car to move that first inch. But once it's rolling It's relatively easy to keep it going. It takes steady pressure, but it doesn't take the Herculean effort that it did to get that first inch. And of course, once the car is rolling, it's a lot easier to steer it left or right. Well, the same thing happens in your photographic career. Once you have a little momentum and you start getting glimpses of what you really want to say, it is so much easier with a little momentum to simply move in that direction rather than starting from scratch. Be regular in your photographic habits. Keep the inertia moving. Sometimes it's going to go fast, sometimes it's going to go less fast, but keep some momentum, and you'll find that eventually something will grab your imagination and pull you forward at incredible speed. Every photographer I know has a story like that, of where they were kind of lost, didn't quite know what they were doing, and then they discovered something, and it became one of the great projects of their life. To paraphrase the words of Master Yoda, am I allowed to do that in an art podcast? I hope so. To paraphrase Yoda, there is no try, there is only do. And once you have a little momentum of doing photography, you will, I guarantee you, you will find the project that comes from deep within you. Because once you're thinking photographically, seeing photographically, producing a little work, continuing to refine your skill set, the project that you want to do, the why and the what will appear on its own. You almost don't even have to encourage it. It will present itself to you for the simple reason that the universe recognizes that you have become a vehicle for expression, and stuff will start bubbling up from your subconscious, and your life as an artist will have begun. And for all of these wonderful reasons that have led to now, for us to be photographers now, yeah, photography is a great, great medium for art, for you, for me, for personal expression, and in my humble opinion, the best time ever in the history of photography to be a photographer.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.